presents Raise a Love with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Leighton Brown, Rosalind Knight, and starring Ted Ray.
I don't know. It always happens. I've got that Monday morning feeling again. It's not right. After all, this is Thursday. Apart from that, it's 12:10. Well, here I am at the office, the House of Trumbull. I might have known. Now the lift's not working, I'll have to walk up. What a drag that was. Hello, Gloria.
Oh, what heavenly beefcake. What a divine physique. What a simply gorgeous hunk of mail.
You're just saying that because you feel sorry for me.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Ray. I didn't notice you come in.
You must have done. You just described me to a T.
Mr. Ray, I was referring to these photographs in this magazine, Muscles for Men.
Muscles for Men?
Yes. Oh, I could swoon at all those perfect men.
Yeah. I don't see anything to get excited about. I've got a better book than that. An eyeful from Paris. You should see page 11. Oh, page 11, how about that?
Disgusting.
It is not disgusting. You should look at you. Keep your eye on Muscles for Men.
I will.
Page 11's great. It makes Bridget Bardot look like a suffragette. But don't tell me, Gloria, that that's the type of man you really go for.
Oh, it is, Mr. A. You see, they're such perfect specimens of the human race.
Well, please, dear, you talk as though I don't belong to it. But you wait a minute. Now, turn your back while I get my jacket off. Now, my woolly. Now, my flannelette shirt. I wish I had one with buttons up the front. And what's this? Oh, my cardigan. That's what comes of dressing in a hurry.
Is there, any sign of a body yet, Mr.
I'm getting to it. There. You can turn around now. Please, Gloria, please, Gloria. You may think I have narrow shoulders, but that's just an optical illusion. It's just that I wear very wide braces. And now, my dear, if you want to see a feat of strength, you can see one. I shall lie on my back like this. That was a mistake, lying down. This office still has lino. Now I shall proceed to raise and lower this coat rack 20 times.
Oh, Mr. Ray, do you really think you should?
All right, 5 times. You'll find out I'm no weakling. Now just stand back while I lie here. Get a grip on the coat rack like this and...
Oh, Mr. Ray, are you sure you're all right?
How can I be? I'm pinned down to the floor by this coat rack.
Just a second, Mr. Ray. Upsy-daisy. There we are. Oh, I'm afraid my plastic mac on it must have been too much for you.
Jackson, I beg your pardon. Did my eyes deceive me? No, they didn't. Ray, what the blazes do you think you're doing? And just look at your desk. What are you doing, holding a jumble sale?
Please, Mr. Jumble. Don't be ridiculous, sir. These are just some of my clothes.
Of course, I should have known. What am I talking about? Ray, for heaven's sake, get your woolies on. What explanation have you got for this outrageous conduct?
A perfectly logical one, Mr. Trumbull. I was merely giving Miss Jackson the opportunity of seeing the physique, which is normally concealed beneath a string vest.
What are you blathering about? I've seen better-looking things in a string bag. Now, for goodness sake, make yourself look presentable, Ray.
So that's it. Now you're getting envious, eh, Mr. Trumbull? Just feel these biceps. Go on, feel them. You'll be under no obligation to purchase.
Oh!
Now you've made a nasty dent. Anyway, Gloria, I hope I've convinced you, my dear, that one member of this firm at least possesses the physique of a Greek god.
Oh, Mr. Ray, you are being the teeniest bit unkind to the Greeks.
What a bilge the man talks. Why, Ray, I'm years older than you, and perfectly preserved.
Just like your wife, Mariah, in alcohol. It's all very well for you to talk, Mr. Trumbull. You seem to forget the old saying that clothes make the man.
So, it's a challenge, Ray, is it?
That's it.
Miss Jackson, kindly step behind the filing cabinet.
Good. Yes.
Not you as well.
Oh. I forgot.
Now then, I shall remove one wing collar, one jacket, one waistcoat, and one shirt. There. Where have you seen a chest like this before?
On our landing. We keep the dirty laundry in it.
Jealousy will get you nowhere.
Jealous? Jealous. At least I can sunbathe in the garden without fear of being buried by the dog.
I will not be baited, Ray. I've proved my point, and I'm perfectly satisfied. See who that is, Miss Jackson.
Very good, Mr.
Oh, no, don't seize it, no.
Oh, excuse me, Ted, I was just passing the office, and I thought... Well, hello there, Mr. Trumbull. Mr. Trumbull!
Excuse me, I can explain everything, Ray.
Really?
Oh, what am I saying? Of course I can't. Who'd believe it? Ray, say something.
Is this your vest?
Oh!
Ted, really, what is going on around here? The office looks more like a recruiting depot. You, haven't been called up or something nice like that, have you?
Something nice like... Darling, it's all perfectly simple. Gloria, Miss Jackson, she likes perfect men, and we were just showing her some.
Oh, now that's cute. You were what?
I should start again, Ray.
Right, Mr. Trumbull. You see, Kitty, Miss Jackson likes perfect men.
Not the same story, Ray.
No.
Mrs. Ray, perhaps I can explain.
Do that.
You see, your husband was only lying on his back and lifting the coat rack when Mr. Trumbull came in and took his shirt off.
Miss Jackson, you'll never know, my dear, just how close you came to being fired.
What a change it is for me to be the innocent bystander.
Oh, yeah, that I can believe. Just look at you. You look like a couple of stagehands from the Follies Bergère.
Mrs. Ray, kindly exclude me from this conversation. And as for you, Ray...
I know, Mr. Trumbull. But just a minute, you. When did you see stagehands from the Follies Bergère?
I'm not terribly sure.
You're not terribly sure. Well, come on, darling. I think we'd better go to lunch.
All right. Ted Ray, if you think for one little minute that I'm going to walk down the street with you looking like that, you are pretty much mistaken.
You're so right, dear. I've forgotten my umbrella again. Salt, mustard, vinegar, pepper. Salt, mustard, vinegar, pepper. Salt, mustard.
Your lunch is on the table.
Salt, mustard, vinegar, pepper. Salt.
Yes, all right, darling. They're on the table, too. Don't worry.
For heaven's sake, darling, you know very well what I meant. I'm skipping.
Oh, well, then you'll need some lunch before you go, won't you? After all, you can't run home to your mother on an empty stomach.
Please, dear. For your information, this is all part of my intensive bodybuilding course.
Oh.
I still haven't got a permit. The local council haven't approved my plans.
Ted, when are you going to stop all this nonsense? I'm very happy with you the way you are.
That warped sense of humor will get you nowhere. I fully realize at the moment I'm not in perfect shape, but you'll see, it'll come.
Yes, darling. Now, what was it the doctor said at your last checkup?
Oh, that. Yeah. Well, I surprised him, dear. He admitted he'd seen a lot of fellows about my age with a tie around the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the first one he'd seen carrying a set of spares in the boot.
Was that all that happened, my little Ray Bulger?
Ray Bulger.
Very good.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
Ray Bulger.
Yes.
Well... He did shake me once or twice to see if I was still ticking.
Well, I should never have asked, really. But anyway, Ted, what are you really trying to prove with all these gymnastics?
Things? Huh?
Don't tell me you're still trying to impress Miss Jackson and Mr. Trumbull at the office.
Oh, nothing so trivial. It's gone far beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
I've entered for something national.
You have?
Yes.
Well, I hope you got a good jockey.
You can mock. You can look at all these things and mock, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be very proud of your hubby when he's up there on that rostrum being crowned Hercules II.
Oh, bless you. Now I've heard everything. You, Hercules the Second.
No less.
Just wait till I tell Mother. I can't wait to hear what she'll have to say.
What can she say? She's got to step aside sometime.
Well, of course. Hey! As I understand it, you're entering for a national competition to become Hercules the Second.
That's it.
How can you be so stupid?
Because I'm a trier.
Yes.
That's why. As a matter of fact, I was very lucky to be accepted. Mm. Mine was a late entry.
You can say that again, my little muscle brain. About 15 years too late. As for you standing up there on a rostrum in a leopard skin, why, Ted, let's face it, it's laughable.
To another leopard, maybe, yes. But not to the judges.
Well?
I'm going through with this. You don't seem to realize that Johnny Weissmuller was a weakling when he was born. And Carnera, he was a weakling when he was born.
Well, maybe so, darling, but it hardly applies to you. You must have been strong when you were born. You've just been getting weaker ever since.
All right, then. Now, that does it. Just for that, I'm going to intensify my training.
Uh-oh.
I shall now go to twice the size I first intended to be.
Oh, yeah.
To begin with, I shall double my exercises. Stand back.
Now, Ted, be careful.
It's too late. Here I go. Salt, salt. Mustard, mustard. Vinegar, vinegar. Pepper, pepper. Salt, salt. Mustard, mustard. You won't know me when I'm finished. Do you still know me, Kitty?
Well, of course I do.
You shouldn't. I'm nearly finished. They all think they're so smart. I'll show a few people whether I can be Mr. Hercules the Second or not. Wait till I finish my course at the gymnasium. I'll go in. Well, somebody let me in. It's a very heavy door handle. Thank you. Well, they've certainly got everything here. Hello, what's this thing? It looks like a vaulting horse that's ready for the family vault.
Don't you mind? My name is Sid Minson.
Who else?
Please. And I happen to be the proprietor of this punch and judo with cauliflower ears supplied to the trade emporium. What can I do for you, then? Or has it already been done?
Please, Mincing, I'm merely here for a little physical culture prior to becoming Mr. Hercules the Second. I thought perhaps you would give me a few wrinkles.
You're not doing so badly on your own, are you?
Watch yourself, Mincing. They are not wrinkles. Nervous muscles, yes, but not wrinkles. Now, I haven't got a lot of time to waste, so let's get started right away.
Very well. Just go over by that black wall and strip off.
What's the idea of the black wall?
Very simple. If it was a white one, I'd lose sight of you.
You don't make friends very easily, do you?
Well, I mean, you're a little different to the others. We haven't had your model in here before. But what are these?
These?
Yes.
My shoulder blades. What else?
I see. What a pity they're round the back. Could have used them as pencil sharpeners.
Do you very much mind, Mincing? Now, do you want me to throw my chest out?
You might as well. It's no good to man or beast.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I walk through Trafalgar Square, I get some very envious looks from pigeons. Now, tell me some more about this Swedish drill of yours.
Oh, yes. Well, that has proved very successful, you know.
Oh, yes?
Yes. Some time ago, we had a young person here who practiced our Swedish drill and finished up with quite a figure.
Interesting, Mincing, interesting. Who was it?
Anita Ekberg.
Very interesting, Mincing. I'll settle for muscles of steel. Muscles of steel! I've got one in, Mincing. Muscles of steel. How about that?
If you're going to continue making remarks like that, we'd better give you a short course in self-defense as well. You probably won't believe this, but I was responsible for training the armed services during the war.
I don't believe it.
Thank you. Even so, I taught the soldiers how to throw their opponents over their right shoulder, the airmen how to throw their opponents over their right shoulder, and the sailors how to throw their opponents over their left shoulder.
Mincing. Mr. Extremely Muscle-Bound Mincing. Why not the right shoulder for the sailors, too?
Well, don't you see?
What?
It's a matter of superstition.
How do you mean?
You always throw the salt over your left shoulder.
Well, now we know why you learn self-defense.
Be that as it may, I'm still prepared to help you, my friend. I think you'd better start with a course of massage to get the whole body toned up. We have a very competent man, Mr. Gray.
Yes, I think I know him. Yes, Mr. Gray. He spent 5 years apprenticeship on a butter counter, didn't he?
We'll just call him.
Eddie, Mr. Gray, massage treatment. Mincing.
What?
We've come to it. Oh, no. The moment of truth.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, get it over. We've had 2 pages of our own.
Very well. You see, he is our masseur, Eddie Gray.
Hi, good morning, Mrs. Ray. I see you're doing a little shopping.
Yes, yes, it is just a little too, Mr. Trumbull. Ted's rise hasn't come through yet.
Quite. But let me assure you, my dear, it is under continual review.
Well, so is the Russian fleet, but that doesn't do us a great deal of good either, does it?
Ah, talking about things not doing us much good. Where is Ray?
Oh, don't talk to me about Ted, Mr. Trumbull.
Well, perhaps you're right. It is rather a sordid subject.
I didn't quite mean it like that, Mr. Trumbull. It's just that, well, he's got this V in his bonnet about becoming Mr. Hercules II or something, and right now he's out training somewhere.
Bless my soul, but what's this coming down the road?
Well. Morning, Mr. Trumbull. Hello, Kitty. Goodbye.
Bye, darling.
Well, I never expected to see anything quite like that again.
Hello. Stand by, Mr. T. Here he comes again.
That roundabout. It always fools me. See you later. Another 5 miles to go.
Yes.
Well, I do believe he's serious about this, Mrs. Gray.
Well, you know my little scattered brain. He just never does anything by halves. Unless, of course, it's his round. But I'm terribly worried, Mr. Trumbull, honestly. He's taking it so seriously. Why, with all this training and fresh air, he's bound to wind up a wreck. Let's face it, that's how he started.
My main regret, Mrs. Ray, is that all this newfound energy is going to waste. What a pity. He can't devote a little of it to the office or to the home.
Yes, indeed. The home. Why, Mr. Trumbull, you've just had a wonderful idea.
I have?
Oh, yes. And what's more, my teeny Tarzan is going to find out just how good.
Where's the embrocation? Hmm? Where's the liniment? The more I do of this, the more I feel sorry for Mr. Hercules I.
Oh. Now, you mustn't give up, Ted. By mowing the lawn in that 2 hours with a heavy roller has done you the world of good.
It has, Kitty. I feel as though I've been rolling round the world.
Now, there's only that ton of coal to move from the top of the garden to the bunker, then you're entitled to a 5-minute tea break.
Please.
I've worked it all out for you, darling.
Some trainer you are.
Yeah.
If you keep me to this program, I shall be the smallest Hercules in the business.
Now, I'm only trying to help you, my pet. In fact, we're all trying to help. Even Fred Potter's volunteered.
How does that layabout Fred Potter get into this?
Well, he's very kindly offered to let you move half a ton of his crazy paving.
How unselfish can a man get?
Yes.
I'll call for him in the morning and give him a piggyback to the office.
Yeah, that's
help you off with your coat. There. I'll put it on the coat rack for you.
Please, Gloria, not so fast. I'm still wearing it. But see how I've improved. Just watch me get to work with this telephone book.
Oh, Mr. Ray, do be careful.
Joan Rose.
Well, it's frightening. No, careful.
Don't you worry, Gloria. Here I go. There. And you'd be surprised how many Zeds there were in that portion. Oh, I must take it easier. And what better place than the office? Give me a call at lunchtime. I don't want to snooze in my own time.
Very good, Miss Ray. Oh, just before you nod off. When are they holding that first heat of the competition? All, but simply all of my friends want to come.
I shall be flexing my muscles in public for the first time next Friday. The opposition will be pretty tough. Well, that's how I like it.
Oh, bully for you, Mr. Ray.
Oh, I'd have to live on that. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Gloria. I would let you feel the size of my shoulders, but for one thing.
Oh, what's that, Mr. Ray?
I've left them in my other jacket. Just you wait till next Friday. It's going to be a turning point in my whole career.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for, the results of the elimination heat for Mr. Hercules II. It really has been quite terrifying here this evening. All those saucy sinews and bulgy biceps. What? But now to business. First, in that simply form-flattering lion skin, there's been such a rush on leopard skin, is entry number 19. And second in this qualifying heat, looking simply magnificent in his corporation bathing drawers, is number 3.
I made it. Did you hear that, Kitty? I'm the runner-up. I've come second. Now I go through to the final.
Whee!
Oh, please don't do that. Let's give me another start. Angus McGrab. Do you have to keep doing that?
Wheel? No.
One more wheel, you'll have a tricycle. What are you doing here? Selling ice cream? For heaven's sake, Angus. I'm surprised that you're here. There's an admission fee. I thought you were down at the Ideal Haggis exhibition.
No. I heard about the competition.
Yes.
And I thought perhaps I could help you a wee bit.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Mr. E, for a wee pound, I could be letting you know how to obtain the finest muscles in the country.
Could you, the new? I mean, keep your voice down, Angus. Keep your voice down, son. Now, about these muscles, here's your pound. What's the secret?
You catch the 5:35 to Grimsby.
Now, just a wee Mac minute, Angus. You caught me like that before. Grimsby.
We'll never let it be said that Angus is a mean man. As a matter of fact, Mr. E, I've got the answer to this Mr. Hercules business.
On the level? You mean you've got some special course that will give me the finest body in the world?
Not exactly. Even Angus can't work miracles. That's a wee idea I've been toying with, you know. Flesh-colored plastic skin that's inflatable.
Oh, about that? Angus, I'm with you. I can see it all. At last, I'm going to be a blown-up something instead of a blown-up nothing. I didn't mean that. I'm just excited.
Okay.
But, Angus, what's the catch? There has to be a catch, otherwise your kilt would fall down.
No. No, there's no catch.
Then I'll watch your kilt.
Please. As I was trying to say, there's no catch. Mind you, there'll be a wee charge for the inflating.
Yes?
You see, I'll pump you up and practice my bagpipes at the same time.
That's great.
Ah, well, that's settled then. As McGregor said when he drank his bismuth. Now, I'll see you at the finals next week. In the meantime, good night, the new.
And good night to the Brown McAngus back.
Because you came in second in one heat, it doesn't mean you stand a chance in the finals.
Why not?
Well, just look at the photographs of some of the competitors. For instance, look at this one of Hairy Harry.
Hairy Harry.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of Airy Fairies, but this is ridiculous. Look at him. He grows his own tobacco. And what's that word tattooed on his chest? Welcome. Charming, isn't it?
Charming, yes. And just get a load of this one. Another 19-stone weakling.
Look. You're right. Look what it says under his picture. Continued on the next page.
Oh.
Well, I've got nothing to worry about.
You want to bet? Listen to me, stupid man. They've put your picture in the agony column.
You won't be sneering tomorrow night.
Well, if you're going to go through with it, Ted, there's nothing more I can say.
Thank you, darling. So don't you forget tonight, as I mount that rostrum, the least you can do is to give me a hand.
Ted, if you can't get up into the rostrum under your own steam.
Oh, please, Kitty.
How do you expect to win this competition anyway?
Women. But you see, there's a shot coming your way tonight, dear.
That's got your plastic skin on.
There's no doubt about it, Angus. We've got something here. This is a doddle. I can't miss.
Well, off we go then, Mr. Ray. I'll attach my bagpipes here and start blowing my wee tune.
It's working, Angus. It's working. Take it easy now. Don't overdo it. A 58 chest. A 58-inch chest should do it. Oh, all right. Have your fun. Make it 68.
Well, now, Mr. Ray, what have you got to say about my little scheme?
You're a genius, Angus. A genius. But you'll have to let a spot of air out. The way I'm built right now, I can't get through the dressing room door. And hurry, Angus, I think they're making the announcements. I'm going to be late.
I can't believe this is actually happening, Mrs. Ray.
That's happening, all right, Mr. Trumbull.
Oh, it's simply wonderful. I can't wait to see this array.
Neither can I. That's why I brought my binoculars.
And sir, ladies and gentlemen, I feel sure that you will agree with the verdict of the judges that award of Mr. Hercules II should go to number 28, the charming Harry Harry. What? But just a minute, wait for a minute now. I see we have a late entry coming onto the rostrum. Mr. Edward Ray, 21.
They got the age right as well.
God, Ted. It is Ted, isn't it? Where's he been hiding that body all these years?
Yes. What? The final decision is absolutely unanimous. That magnificent specimen, Mr. Ray, wins.
How about that? I knew all my hard work would pay off.
Well, simply lashings of congratulations from Basil, Mr. Ray. And now to pin the winner's medal on your chest. Come here, sir. Just pop the pin into the leopard skin and...
What's that hissing noise? It sounds like the first house of Dewsbury.
I say. What's happening here? You're disappearing before my very eyes.
Basil! Did you have to stick that pin in me? Trust you to let me down at the last minute. You've done it again, you have!
That was Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Leighton Brown, Rosalind Knight, and starring Ted Ray. The program was written by Bernard Botting and Charles Hart and produced for the BBC by Leslie Bridgman.